So, good afternoon. We are here at the NERDS of the Oberrheinische Tiefebene and Crosshain stage at the CCC Camp 23. And we have the next talk is called Celeste, Bringing an Indie Classic to Pico System. And it's from Andreas, also known as Pixel Punker. And he is into retro computing and electronic music. And before we go also to the stream out there, we have this stage have a hashtag. It's on paper, but you can also use it. It's hashtag CCCCamp23NotX or CCCCamp23NotX. And if you use it in Feldiverse, we can take your questions and read them out loud here. So, and without further ado, welcome to the stage.
Thank you. Welcome to my talk, Celeste, Bringing an Indie Classic to Pico System. Thank you all for being here. I hope you're enjoying the camp so far. Show me with hands how many of you have heard of or played Celeste. Okay, almost all of you. That's good. This talk is also not only about Celeste, but also about Pico System. If you could switch once. This little device, it's a small handheld that is geared more towards people who like to make their own games, not just play them. But more about that in a minute. Let me start with some background about what is pixel art. From 1972 to 1995, pixel art was simply called computer graphics, starting with Pong all the way. It's been in 2D, but then in 1995, the PlayStation came along, and everything was about 3D. 2D was obsolete, outdated, old hat. Nobody was interested in it. Everything moved to 3D, even if those early worlds were pretty lacking in detail. But then, starting in 2004, there was an indie game called Cave Story, which started a sort of pixel art renaissance. It's still very popular, so it's not a trend, it's here to stay. Pixel art is very still in use today. Today we have mainly three flavors of pixel art. On one end of the spectrum, we have new games for vintage hardware, like Sam's Journey. And the great thing about these games is that with the culminated knowledge and experience, these games often surpass the commercial games of the era. Then, in the middle of the spectrum, we have games that look kind of old, but are more advanced underneath. For example, they may not observe a strict sprite limit, or they have bigger worlds than used to be. Or they are simply programmed in more modern frameworks that take a lot more resource. And then we have at the high end what I would call high pixel art, which combines pixel art with a next-gen look. And pixel art is now an aesthetic, an artistic choice, and not a technical necessity anymore. Which brings me to Celeste. Celeste is certainly a high pixel art game. It was released in 2018, and for an indie game, it had an astounding number of copies sold, over 1 million. And it's a game in the vein of a really difficult precision platformer where you die a lot and you learn by trial and error and it also has a really great story and a quite deep story, frankly, with some topics of identity if you read between the lines. But inside Celeste, the full release, is hidden as an Easter egg, Celeste, now called Classic, which is a prototype done in Pico 8, which precedes the full release, but it's also inside the commercial game, if you find it. Which brings me to Pico 8. Probably have heard about it as well. It's a fantasy console. It's like an emulator for a machine you've never heard of, and that did not really exist in real life. It's inspired by the BBC Micro. Its creator, Zapp, had this as a child. And if you boot it up, you see a command line, and you used to program these in BASIC, but now it's a Lua. And it has integrated tools for creating tiny games. And it's still very popular for game jams. If you have prototyping something, if you don't have a lot of time, and it has a lot of constraints, and these are made to make you more creative, so you're not confused with too many choices. And it still has a really strong community. Which brings me finally to the Pico system. It's a tiny handheld based on the Raspberry Pi Pico microcontroller, but combines it in a nice form factor with a battery. It's overclocked out of the box. It has a small piece of speaker. It does a little bit of tiny Casio-style sounds. It gives you 6 hours of battery, which is thanks to the Pi Pico that really consumes a lot, a tiny amount of power. And it has a generous amount of 16 megabytes of flash ROM, executing place ROM, which I'll talk about in a minute, and has a tiny square screen. Inside, it's powered by the Raspberry Pi Pico, or RP2040. It's a new microcontroller from Raspberry with two Core 0 cores, but also some additional hardware, like, for example, a hardware division unit, a interpolator, lots of DMA channels, and PIO, programmable I/O, which is a special feature of the Pi Pico. It's quite confusing for some. If they see Pico 8 and Pico system, they think it's the same. It is not. Here you see some differences and similarities. Both do have a square and tiny screen. Pico in name, Pico in size, reduced controls, but Pico 8 has a Lua runtime with some overhead, whereas Pico system by default runs with a compiled C++. Pico 8 has lots of RAM. Lua has a minimum of 2 megabytes, very little ROM. The games are just 32K in size. With Pico system, it's reversed. You have lots of ROM, 16 megabytes, but very little RAM, 265 kilobytes. And lastly, Pico 8 needs a pretty beefy processor for what you're getting, 1 gigahertz at least. And Pico system is overclocked to 250 megahertz. So when I began porting, the first question is, why don't we just port the Pico 8 runtime that could play all kinds of games? And the question is, it's simply the RAM requirements make it impossible. There was an attempt to expand the RAM, but it ran at like 8 or 10 FPS because it's really slow. And there's no stripped-down equivalent on the Lua side, like MicroPython for Python. So it's just too big for this tiny microcontroller. And yeah, if you try it on Pico 8 on a full Raspberry Pi 1, you will even have some slowdown. So it's just too much. So it's a direct port. And Pico system has an amazing amount of frameworks to offer. There are 6 or 7 of them that you could choose from. I choose to go with the official Pico system SDK because it first has a reduced footprint. And if you look at the API, you will notice some similarities. It looks kind of the same. But I want to mention 2 additional frameworks you could use. 32-bit SDK is the most powerful, certainly, from a bigger machine. And a pretty new one, Micro.js, not Micro, which is easiest for beginners. You just need a web browser. So when I started porting, the first step was to convert all the assets. So I wrote Python scripts to import the sprite sheets and also do some color format conversion. More about that in a minute. Secondly, we have map data, which is the level data. This is also converted. And some Pico 8 games use compression because 32K is really little, but that's not necessary for Pico systems, so we can remove the compression. There's no actual loading. It's just a ROM addressed directly. And so it works like the consoles of old. You're not loading, you're not parsing. You just access a memory address and your level data is all there. Lastly, there's some sound conversion. Pico 8 is known for its chip tunes. Sadly, they don't work on this one. But they also converted what is there as sound effects. And for all this conversion of the file formats, they're really explained in detail in the Pico 8 wiki, so that's a great resource. Let me talk a bit more in detail about the colors. I hope you can see those colors. Pico 8 has just 16 colors, but they're really cleverly chosen artistically, so it looks a lot more colorful than 16 colors suggest. There's even a hidden palette of another 16 colors. And it works with old school tricks like palette swaps. This is a chess prototype I did. The chess pieces are the same sprite but just recolored with palette swaps. And in the old times, you also used it for color cycling effects that look pretty amazing, but they don't use practically no resources, even on old machines, because the palette change costs almost nothing, and you can do some animation style that's just a cycling of colors. So that's the 2 reasons Pico 8 still uses palettes. Pico system, on the other hand, uses the ST7789 display, a pretty common display with a controller to power it. It has 18 bits of color, which is 260,000 colors. Also works in 16-bit color mode with 62,000 colors, and lastly in 12-bit mode, which gives you 4,000 colors. And we go with this 12-bit color mode, which gives us exactly the Amiga palette of 4,096 colors. But there's a problem. If you store 12 bits inside 16 bits, you can't read them out efficiently via memory copy. You have to skip a 4 bits. But there's some PyIO assembly. It's connected via DMA to the memory, and then it processes those bits and throws some away. And with this saves us 25% of the SPI bandwidth. And this is great because SPI bandwidth is the one limiting factor for the refresh of this display. And yeah, those 12 bits stored in 2 bytes means one nibble. That's the word for bits. Can be used for full alpha transparency, which looks great and is uncommon for an 8 or 16-bit machine. So what I did when porting, the SDK out of the box has some so-called blend modes. There's copy, which is just a memory copy, so from source to the screen. It ignores what's there. Then we have mask, which is 1-bit transparency. And finally, we have a mode with full alpha transparency. And of course, this one is the slowest. And I added additional PQ8 blend modes, a new one called Sprite, which uses a transparency map. This is a feature of PQ8 where you can assign some colors to be transparent or not. Secondly, palette. Because there are palette effects, and that means colors are changed after the effect. So the screen is already drawn, and then we decide on a palette change it afterwards. And to enable this, I use this transparency nibble to store the original PQ8 color index instead, so I can reassign whenever there's a palette change. But I also want to use the full 4,000 colors, so maybe combine or enhance an existing game. So I finally have Convert, which copies those palette colors to full RGBA. Okay, secondly, the game loop. Every game has an internal game loop that reads data from the controller, updates the game logic, and finally draws the screen. The ST7789 has different refresh rates you can use. 50 Hz is the default. I go here for 60 Hz. And the great thing about this this play is it has a dedicated VSync pin. So we can sync to the display. And this display I use to start the game loop. So we don't have a timer. But the display itself drives the refresh, and this saves up to 1 frame of latency for us. And lastly, PQ8 is made for exactly 30 FPS, so I just wait twice, and then I have exactly 30 FPS. And if you count up the time, it really keeps the time correctly. There's a bit of detail regarding the screen. PQ8 has 128 by 128 pixels, really odd and unusual resolution. Pico System has just 120 by 120. This doesn't sound like much of a difference. If we have a scrolling game, cutting off 4 pixels doesn't hurt. But for a single screen game like Celeste, sometimes there's some important objects that would be hidden. I hope you see the red outline. So I implemented a moving camera that follows the player, that also tries not to bounce back and forth with some limits. So only when it needs to. Okay, a last porting aspect is these piezo speaker sounds. We have lots of sounds in the original, but we are only left with wave and noise channels. And let me show you what it sounds like. Yeah, that's what's left of the sound, but still, it gives a nice feedback. And I use the second chord to decouple the sound speed from the frame rate. Okay, before I come to this last slide, let me just show you quickly what it looks like. If you could switch to the camera. So here's Celeste. You can play it and it runs in full speed. Um, there are pickups, and because it runs on a Raspberry Pi, I changed the pickups to be a Raspberry. But you can always change it back to the original Strawberry. So that's just one minor addition. Okay, the last point is I've done it again and tried to port it again. This time in Rust, using ASIC kernels embedded Rust. It uses embedded graphics and embedded graphics core. I'm starting from scratch, and the first thing I did was this sprite routine, which parses the spreadsheet and now writes it using... you should switch back to the camera, please. It parses the spreadsheet and displays it. As you can see, right now it's still a bit slow, which is because we're not using a frame buffer yet. We're just moving directly via SPI to the display. But yeah, that's the future of this port. And I will also want to convert the Lua code, this time not by hand, but with a abstract syntax parser to make it a general framework for porting Pico8 games to the Pico system. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Pixelbunker. As was, I think you could have used more time for getting more deeper into it. So, but who have want to know more can ask you, like, the side of the stage, because we need to make space for the next talk that is already in preparation and will happen here in my watch died in 18 minutes. So, and we need that time to for the change the stage. But thank you very much for coming, and thank you very much for coming here.
Thanks.